What's going on, you guys? Welcome to The Relentless Life. My name's Chance Galloway, 25-year-old published author, personal trainer, and host of the show. I believe that most people aren't truly living the life that they deserve. You see, as a child, I had to witness my family go through many hardships: financial failure, physical engagements, self-identity, time away from my father, and nearly losing my mother. This carved the path for me to deem a life I could have control over. That's when The Relentless Life was born. Our mission with this show and lifestyle is to lead others toward a life worth living. Through the empowering conversations, ideas, and perspectives, you will have the resources needed to retake control of your life. Join me in helping spread this movement and this message to as many people as possible. Now, I hope you're ready for this journey. Welcome to The Relentless Life.
Hello, students of life, and welcome back to this edition of Free Yourself Friday. My name is Cassidy, and I mentor busy professionals to detox their mind and body, gain more energy, and live a natural lifestyle so that they can take control of their health. And I am so excited to have Chance Galloway today, and we're going to be talking to you about four things that we wish we knew in the beginning of our health journey. Although we know that everything is as it should be, so yeah, we wish we knew it, but also we don't, because like I said, everything is as it should be. We're exactly where we need to be, and had we known that then we wouldn't be here talking today, and we wouldn't be able to add as much value as we both do for you guys. So I'm so excited to have Chance on today, and he is an online men's health coach, and he is also a personal trainer, amongst many other amazing things. And also, before I hand it over to him so he can introduce himself, I do just want to make sure that I say this disclaimer, that anything that Chance and I say today is not medical advice. So this is not medical advice. All right, awesome, Chance. I'll go ahead and pass it over to you. Thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. Great introduction, Cassie. I really need to work on my introductions. That was seriously flawless. So really good job. Thank you so much, you know, Cassie, for having me on today. This is very exciting. I am a men's online, I guess you can say a health coach, because I do kind of coach people and, you know, suggest certain things, you know, in realms of nutrition and with fitness routines. And I've been a certified personal trainer for the past 8 years. And it's my absolute passion, you know, just like yourself. We found the industry of health and fitness in our own way. We have our own story, and I'm very grateful for it. I'm very grateful to be here today. I'm very grateful to have met the people along my journey. It started for me when I was around 12 years old, and it's been pretty amazing ever since. So, you know, I'm going to let you kind of do what you need to do, and we'll follow a script today, because I know that Cassie and I can talk for hours on end. That's usually how it is when I run my podcast with other health professionals in this industry. You know, you get on one topic and you kind of run down that rabbit hole, and then you run down another rabbit hole. So I will let you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. You might see me, peeking down at my notes here. We'll just kind of let this flow.
Yeah.
Definitely might be peeking down at my notes a little bit. And it's actually pretty cool too. Chance and I have never really connected in this way. We've only like messaged on Instagram, you know, from voice notes here and there and everything.
It's
like just connecting with him a little bit before this, you know, it's like we've known each other for thousands of years, you know, it's awesome. So I'm just really grateful for him. He's definitely soul family. And of course, I definitely have to just shout you out and just recognize you two really quick. Like, I'm so grateful for the work you're doing, not just for the collective, but also for men. Like, men need people embodying their divinity, their truth, their leadership. And I love the things that you share. Like, one of the most badass things was when you posted the post of you sunning your balls. I love that you just like posted that, and like some of the comments that I was reading, people were like, "You lost your mind," like all this stuff, and I'm like,
"Pretty popular post, yeah."
Leadership, like it's awesome. So I'm just super grateful for that. Once again, especially for, you know, men need, yes, women leaders as well, but it's like they really can connect with you on that level. So just want to say thank you again. I really appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Yes. And as I mentioned, we're going to be talking about four things that we wish we knew in the beginning of our health journey. So the first thing that we're going to start off with is really the importance of our daily movement patterns. So really being mobile and being a functional athlete. I know in the beginning of my journey, and I'm sure that Chance can also agree with this. You know, when I was younger, my years, I was all about the aesthetics. I just literally was like so blind when it came to nutrition and fitness. And I really was not focusing on being mobile and being flexible. And like Ramwad says, swole and flexi. So, you know, I really just like, I got injuries, right? And also, you know, we don't want to be like walking around like this where we can't even train our arms. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm really, really grateful that I've incorporated daily movement and mobility. And I would love to pass it off to you, Chance, and for you to share. I know in your journey, you've, I'm sure, gone through so many different changes and phases. Oh, I know that you've competed as well. And, you know, like, I forget, it's like bodybuilding shows or physique shows. Like,
Yeah.
And I just would love to know a little bit more about, you know, you, your experience with like really seeing for yourself. You know, we hear about it and everything, but until it kind of happens to us and we're like immobile, the importance of, you know, moving your body in these ways. And once again, becoming a functional athlete, a functional human. It's not always about, you know, being super jacked, like we've been conditioned and everything. It's like, can you move your body? Like, yeah, you might be able to, you know, lift this crazy amount of weight, but like, can you like save you and your family if some shit goes down, you know, and be a functional, you know,
No, absolutely. And this is, I'm going to, because I've told this story so many times that, you know, I start to refine it. And like I said before, I can kind of go on and on and on about it, but I'm going to do my best. I'm just prefacing you guys. I'm going to do my best to kind of, to break this down, because I could talk about movement forever. And as you had said, I got into, first of all, I got into fitness at a very young age. I'm 25, I'll be 26 this year. I started with fitness when I was 11 years old. So for over half my life, I've been into some sort of fitness, whether that be running, weightlifting, powerlifting, bodybuilding and physique competition. So I've been kind of all over. I've done Spartan races. I've done ninja training. You know, like it's really cool to have that background of being able to say, oh, I've dabbled with this, I've dabbled with that. And I truly recommend that to anybody, especially to beginners. Like don't get complacent. Don't get like fully focused on just one thing, because you, especially in the beginning of your fitness journey, you know, I say this with 12, 13 years of background in fitness and health, don't get complacent in staying on one path. Like, be okay with dabbling maybe with like yoga. And like, by the way, like yoga is like super powerful, as you know. Like, try yoga. I would suggest maybe doing some like run a 5K, like see if you like to run. Like, personally, I'm not a huge fan of running. That's a whole different topic. Like, I think that you should either be walking or sprinting and not like running long distances. Like, personally, I don't think humans are supposed to be doing that. But anyways, yeah, I'd say just like it's good to dabble. It's good to experiment with things that you might really be able to resonate with. And all those different aspects of fitness are going to elicit your strengths, and they're also going to draw out your weaknesses as well, and push you and show you what you really need to work on. So for instance, with me, I had a few medical pre-existing conditions prior to getting into the industry of bodybuilding. I started at a very young age, and unfortunately I had scoliosis, and I still have mild scoliosis. It's like an unnatural curvature east to west. I mean, it could be the other way, because naturally we have a sagittal curve of our spine, but on a frontal level, my spine kind of curves a little to the left or to the right. I really can't remember. But that affected me as I got heavy into weightlifting. I was 15 or 16 years old. I got really into weightlifting. I joined the football team for a couple of years, and that to me is, you know, if there's any parents listening to this, or any kids that are 14 through 18 that are just getting into sports or just getting into high school and you're starting to dabble with weights, I urge you to make certain that you are not biting off more than you can chew, because that's exactly what happened to me. I let the ego get to my head. Your hormones are raging. You don't know right from wrong at that age, and you really don't have the right guidance. Most high schools, in fact, I would say 98% of high schools do not have a strength program the way that they should, and it's very unfortunate. And I fell into that cycle of lifting really heavy 5 to 6 days a week, and it backfired on me. And for the last 7 years, I have been seeking out different health professionals. I've had acupuncture, I've tried chiropractors, different physical therapists, dry needling. I've literally tried, Cassie, everything in the book to try to like make myself feel better. Because to kind of back up a little bit, you know, when I was 18, 19 years old, just out of high school, my senior year, I joined a competitive weightlifting team. I placed in states. I had a very successful year, but everything that I was doing, all of my movement patterns I was fully in extension. So we're taught, right, that posture is supposed to be, you know, look up when you're doing a squat, keep your chest up, arch your lower back when you're on the bench press. And not to say that like having an arch in your lower back is a bad thing, because we naturally have a low amount of lordotic curve, but you're taught to be in extension. And that's exactly where I got caught up in. I had no real mentor, no real guidance early on. And I developed these movement patterns. And the whole time I thought I had an injury, and the whole time I actually was not injured. I've had a few pulled hamstrings. I've had a few broken bones along the way, the scoliosis, some stenosis in my low lumbar spine, stuff like that. But all of those things should not prevent me from working out, from lifting, and from being out of chronic tightness. Like I'm in a lot of pain and chronic tightness every day. And now it's to the point to where I'll openly say it on here. I was a little afraid to say it before, but I'm now, I reached out to speak to somebody because I've been so depressed and so anxious and not grounded. Yeah. You know, even with meditation, even with prayer, even with, you know, breathing exercises, all of those things to kind of bring me back to center, there was still something that wasn't right in my life. And it was my movement patterns. You know, I would wake up, I would be a little tight because in my sleep, I would actually be sleeping long. And it has to do with my nervous system. I don't know how deep we want to get into this, but I finally, you know, to wrap this whole introduction up of movement, I finally found what's known as PRI. It's Postural Restoration Institute. It was created back in the 90s. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, Cassie, but essentially what PRI is the studying of how we walk and how we breathe, the gait cycle, right? Just basic human movement and syncing. It's spine conscious training. So syncing the rib cage with the hips, with the neck, and kind of allowing them all to work in synchrony. Yeah, with each other. And this whole time I was never injured, and I was seeking out people and x-rays and MRIs. And unfortunately, you know, getting this radiation and I spent like $15,000 over the last 7 years of my own money to figure out what's going on, but I was never injured. It was these neuromuscular movement patterns that I fell into over time.
It's like root cause healing. I'm so proud of you for seeking that out. And also after the podcast, we're definitely going to talk. I know I mentioned a couple of times the doctors that I work with too, but of course, like some things are coming up for me. I'm like, ooh, I got to share that with him. So yeah, thank you again for just sharing all of that. And thank you for sharing as well that you are talking to somebody. And that's extremely important, especially important in our culture, especially.
And I think for men.
And especially for men. And I really honor you for saying that as well. Because once again, like speaking your truth, being your authentic self, like just being a leader. So thank you for that. I love that so much. And I'm just so grateful that you are relentless and willing to do whatever it takes. And your test is your testimony. And your mess is your message. And we know that this is just bringing us into just a greater purpose for ourselves to help others, you know, not make the same mistakes that we did. And once again, like you said, really get down into the root cause healing. And like you said, like, you know, it's all about like, right, retraining the nervous system as well. Because it's like, it's not just, oh, the body. It's like we're this holistic human and we have the nervous system and we have the brain that's connecting with all of it synergistically. So, wow, like, thank you so much for sharing all of that there. And yeah, it just goes to show how important it is, right? It's like, I know that I made that same mistake when I was younger. You know, we throw this heavy weight on and we don't have proper form. Like, that's just terrible. We can really mess ourselves up really bad, and it can cause lots of issues, lots of money, lots of pain, lots of things like that. So thank you for mentioning that. And I'm really grateful that, yeah, the young man or woman that's lifting right now really needs to see that young athlete. So thank
you again for sharing that. Just one more thing before we kind of move on past movement. If you're not breathing when you're working out, or not just working out, forget working out, because that's out the window. If you can't function outside of the gym, first you have to function optimally, just walking and sitting and standing. Like, you need to be in a neutral, like, we want to seek neutrality. Right. You need to focus on not just breathing, but breathing the proper way. So anybody listening to this, If you're, especially if you're a beginner, if you're a newbie into the gym or into even running or any sort of physical activity, I know Cassie's going to agree with what I'm about to say. You have got to learn how to breathe first. Mm-hmm. Don't skip that step. We breathe 22 to 25,000 times every single day. Like when I heard that fact, it blew my mind. I thought to myself, when you really break movement down and you think to that level, like if we're not breathing right 22 to 25,000 times every single day, what do you think is going to happen when you're lifting weight or performing some sort of resistance training? You're eventually either going to get hurt or you're going to walk yourself or sprint yourself was what I did. I was on a fast track to disaster. That's why I'm where I'm at now. But I'm super grateful for it because the information that I know now, I never, maybe it would take me 20 years, right, but I never would have known what I know now if it wasn't for going through that pain and that suffering. Yeah. I've been walking through hell for 7 years. Yeah. And it's really done amazing things to me. So just to wrap that up, make sure you guys are really learning how to breathe. And if you have any questions about it, I'm sure Cassie can help you. And if you want to come to me, you can absolutely ask me that and I will point you in the right direction. So
wonderful. Thank you so much, Ryder. Once again, really down to the root cause of things and focusing on the foundations. And really the four things that we're talking about here that we wish we knew in the beginning of our health journey, they're foundational things, right? They're the foundation. So many people go into these advanced healing modalities and they don't focus on the foundations. And one thing that I recommend for you to do for proper breathing and to really retrain yourself, because I know, like, I think the first time I even was like aware of my breathing really and like became conscious of it was when I started working out, which was wonderful, you know, like focusing on, okay, I need to breathe right while I'm doing movement. But really to like in the morning, I noticed something else too. I have a video on mouth taping. I can link that below. That's another like topic that we can talk about for another day and literally do a whole podcast on it. But that's super powerful. Like if I like for some reason have a stuffy nose, I won't put on mouth tape because obviously that's just not smart, right? My nasal passage is not open. So I will like wake up in the morning and I notice like more like tension in like my traps area, my shoulders when I'm doing my morning meditation. So it's just so powerful. And anyways, that was a side note, but basically what I recommend for you is to wake up and you don't have to sit up and do your meditation. You know, I don't like to lay down cause like I might fall back asleep, but you can lay down and what you can do is you can just put your hand on your belly and you'll notice if you set a timer for 5 minutes, at the end of it, your belly's like your hand's gonna rise more right on your belly. But literally just putting the hand on the belly, breathing in deeply through the nose, making sure that when you're inhaling in, you're expanding your belly and then breathing out through the mouth. And that's like a really good way to start. And then you can, you know, transition to sitting up or whatever it is. But just doing that like 5 minutes a day to change your life literally. And just being aware of your breath, being conscious. And if that means setting a phone alarm to, you know, take 3 deep breaths a couple times throughout the day, so powerful. Like 3 really deep breaths. Inhaling in once again through the nose, expanding that belly, and exhaling out the mouth, and sighing if you want to, stimulating the vagus nerve. So yes, so I just want to share that, and also just touch on mobility a little bit more. So some things that I really like to do for my mobility daily, or just to move my body, even if it's not like stretching, which is a daily non-negotiable for me. It's dancing, it's working out, right? There's many different ways that we can move our body. Literally, just like walking around the block, right, and knocking out, getting sunshine with that. I also really love to use my foam roller. I love my Hypervolt, my massage gun. It's a freaking game changer, especially because I have like insanely tight like neck and traps. And what else? I guess those are pretty much the modalities that I use the most. But I mentioned Ramwan. I do like Ramwan a lot, which is basically like yoga or stretching, but just like holding a pose for an extended period of time. Yeah. So I'm really grateful for those ways to really move my body to stay flexible and mobile. And how about you, Chances? Are there any like certain things besides the therapy that you had mentioned as well and really just being aware of your breathing? Are there any other things that
So I actually did want to throw something in there. So I'm not an anti-stretch guy at all. So what I'm about to say, I just wanted to preface it with that. Mm-hmm. With that being said, for a very long time, I thought that I was just muscularly tight because I've always been a stiff person. But what I didn't realize up until like 6 weeks ago, until learning about this PRI, so this is a very new concept for me, but I do enjoy explaining it, is that I wasn't muscularly tight. It's hard to say that. I was neuromuscularly tight, right? It was a nervous, it was a neuromuscular thing. It had to do with my muscular and my nervous system. What people don't understand is the body is one, right? I follow this guy, Neil Hollinan. He is a PRI practitioner. He's got like 20,000 subscribers on YouTube. So he's kind of well known in that, he's very well known in that PRI community. But outside of that, no one really knows who he is. No one really knows much about PRI. There's four practitioners in the entire state of Florida. So kind of like coming back to what I was saying about stretching is, I tried stretching for years and years and years, and I'm very, very flexible, like extremely flexible. And what people don't understand is that is not a good thing. You don't want to be extremely flexible, especially in places like in our hamstrings. You don't want to be able to be laying on your back and bring your leg past 90 degrees. Like 90 is okay, but if you go anything past that, that could become detrimental to your positional health. And like, when I, like the stuff I'm telling you, the stuff that I've been learning recently is like completely goes against the mainstream.
Alternative health. It's like alternative health. I love that.
And like whenever I try explaining it to people, I feel like such an outcast, and I feel like, you know, which is a good thing. That means that it's like we're doing things that are outside of that bubble, of that world.
Yeah.
You know, like we could be the people to innovate something new or to help somebody. Like for instance, with me, I was getting so angry at these doctors that I was seeing that went to school for 12 years and have seen all these people. I've seen so many doctors that have been in the industry for 30, 40 years and they couldn't fix me. And I was like, why can't you fix me? You know, it almost gets me emotional to talk about, because it's been such a long journey I had to figure it out for myself, Cassie. Like it was almost like putting a dog in a corner. What are they going to do? They're either going to cower down or they're going to fight back. And that's what, you know, this brand is all about. And this lifestyle, my podcast is all about the relentless life. And that's when you're cornered, what are you going to do? Are you going to fight back? Are you going to, get up? Are you going to just cower in that corner and you're just crumbled to nothing? You know, and I personally believe we were all gifted a life for some reason. Like we're all here. It's not just a random spoof of, oh, I was born and now I'm here. No, I really believe, you know, in God and spirituality and energy that we're here for some reason at the same simultaneous time. Mm-hmm. And for me, this PRI thing is like, first of all, it's saving me, because I've had suicidal thoughts. I've had so many bouts of depression. I'm damn near anxious every day. I'm not grounded. And that's why I'm like preaching. When I get on my Instagram live, I preach to other men who are in my position, who feel lost, who feel like they maybe don't have a purpose or they want to give up. And that's my purpose, because I'm living it. Like I'm in it right now as we speak on this podcast. I'm not out of hell yet. I'm still walking through. I'm starting to see the light. Like I'm starting to see the light peek through, but I'm not there yet. So I know I kind of got off on a little rabbit.
I love that. Thank you so much for speaking from your heart once again. Yeah, sharing all that you shared there. And I know that same frustration, like legit, like I'm not ready to fully share my whole experience with what I've been healing for the past couple of years. But when I do, that's going to be a whole nother video for another day. But same,
absolutely.
If I went to the, you know, medical matrix doctors, let's just call it what it is. They'd be like surgery, prescription drugs, like all of these. They wouldn't ever ask if it was parasites. And that's what I'm doing. I'm detoxing parasites. Both my holistic doctors found you have parasites. So it's manifesting as this symptom. So like, you know, we have to be our own health advocates. We truly do have to be. It's dangerous to not be our own health advocates and not be students of life and not continue exploring and listening to our soul's call. Like when you saw, what is it called? The PNI?
PRI. Postural Restoration Institute. And like, I seriously, like, I'm telling you guys, like, take this. I know I'm young, I'm only 25, but take this from somebody who literally was like, for years, I wanted to take my own life because I was in so much chronic discomfort. Like, I don't even know how I'm still here, honestly. Like, it's been that crazy. And I'm a strong dude. I'm really strong. Like, if you would have watched my videos from in the gym before and how I used to train, a lot of you guys know me from Fort Myers and the gyms down there. I was a freaking animal. And like, I lost 25 pounds. I have bad body dysmorphia and all this shit happened to me. I'm sorry. I don't know if I'm like a lot of cursing here, but at once,
I'll go ahead.
You know, like, and it hit me like a brick. Like I wasn't prepared for it. It was just like, oh, life just hit me in the face. And now I got to figure it out, you know? So this PRI, seriously, like, I really encourage you guys, if you are struggling with like mechanical issues, like movement issues or balance, some of it's even vision. Like the stuff that I'm learning about it is like, we're very right dominant. I don't know if you know about the diaphragm's bigger on the right side.
I don't know too much. No, your content that you post about that like blows my mind.
It's insane. And I, like I said, like I'm not taking credit because I always say like, if you're going to like, you can follow me and I post about it and I hopefully you can learn from me, but I'm just learning from like the real professionals and the real people who really put this content out there. It's mind blowing. It's such a vast field of like, wow, like this is the source. It's positional. It's neuromuscular. Like it's all the nervous system. It your stretching is not going to get you guys better. Like, yeah, like doing light stretching maybe at the end of the workout. Yeah. Okay. That's fine. But please do not overdo stretching. And I know that sounds crazy.
Yeah.
Like 4 or 5 months ago, I would have said, yeah, stretch. Like stretching's like really good. And a lot of it is probably a positional issue. The way that your body is in space. Mm-hmm. How you feel your right side to your left side. Are you grounded more on your right side? Most people have more weight on the right side. We're in this what's called a left AIC pattern where our pelvis is are oriented to the right. So when we walk, we can never truly get back to that left side. Mm-hmm. And that can become problematic, especially for somebody like me. If you're into bodybuilding, into heavy weightlifting or powerlifting, you're building on a broken foundation. And that's very, very problematic.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for explaining that. I'm so grateful for that. And it's just so cool to see the connection and everything. Once again, root cause healing. Once again, looking deeper than, you know, even the depths, you know, and really like remaining that student of life and truly questioning everything. So that's freaking awesome. I'm super grateful that you're able to share that with us. And I look forward to looking into it as well.
Yes, me too for you.
We're going to go ahead and transition into the next thing, the second thing that we wish we knew in the beginning of our health journey. And it's the importance of animal protein and animal products. And especially we're going to dive into organ meats. I am a recovering victim of propaganda BS in the nutrition world. I think all of us are, right? I definitely blindly like believed a lot of things and was very brainwashed and was like, oh, watched a documentary that was like, you know, it programmed my mind, even though I was like, oh, some things weren't right. Like I remember watching, I think it was What the Health, and I saw like this stuff like a carton of eggs is equivalent to like the damages of the carton of eggs is equivalent.
They compared it to cigarettes.
Yeah, like cigarettes. And I remember telling my friend, actually shout out to my friend, Brendan, who is actually now eating animal protein, which is really exciting, but he's the owner of Planet Protein, a protein company. And I remember telling him, I was like, that doesn't make sense to me. But I was like, but I'm all for like eating high vibrational foods. And I understand that. And also I'm going to go ahead and say this right now, because later on or in a bit here, I'm going to talk about the frequency of certain things and frequency of organs and things. So everything in the universe has energy, right? Everything in the universe is energy, right? So, you know, Chance has energy. I have energy. We all vibrate at a certain vibrational frequency. So like a twig is going to vibrate at a lower frequency than a rose. A rose is going to be more high vibrational. So where was I going with this? Yes, basically that foods have vibrations, right? And so there's so many different aspects of this, and I actually get into it in the Divine Detox Method Master Course, which is my master course for people to take control of their health, mind, body, spirit, a holistic health program. You know, there's aspect of, okay, when your food is raw, it might have more something called angstroms. And so it might be vibrating higher and raise our vibration more. But then when you have raw foods, you can get into the anti-nutrients and things like that. So that pretty much brings me into, you know, in the beginning of my journey, I really had no idea about the importance of bioavailable protein. Like, yes, you might be able to get protein from, for example, a non-animal source, like for example, beans, but is it bioavailable? Is it usable by your body? And does it contain anti-nutrients, which are compounds that are found in seeds and plants? And the purpose of them is to protect that plant. So basically what happens is that when we eat that, it's going to basically, you know, allow us to not absorb the nutrients, vitamins, and minerals, not only in that thing, but it's going to mess with the other things that we're eating as well. And it's also going to mess with our digestive enzymes as well, so we can't break it down. So we're not designed to break down, for example, say a raw food that we're conditioned like, oh, it's better to eat it because it's high vibrational, it's raw, so it's high vibe, so it's like we need to eat it, right? So yeah, there's so many truths and different sides of things, and it's really all about how you're preparing your food. It's all about the quality of your food. So yeah, if you are eating the plants, then, you know, we want to make sure that we're preparing them right. A sprouted seed is completely different than a, you know, non-sprouted seed. We want to make sure we're soaking things and things like that. So, and just really, once again, I don't know if I mentioned it, but I always say this, tuning into what works for you. And if you haven't checked out my podcast too, definitely talking to you, Chance, and just our audience, but muscle testing, it's like, who's to say that something's bad for you when we all have different biochemistries and we can really test to see what works best specifically for us. And then going back to the quality of meat, like I was like generally pretty good about the quality of meat. It got better as the years went on, but then I realized like, oh man, I really need to be better about it. Because for example, you know, a steak that I eat that is, that animal was fed corn filled with glyphosate Roundup Ready is completely different than a you know, steak that I eat where that cow was fed, you know, it was grass finished, and it was not fed, you know, this BS. It wasn't injected with hormones, etc. And it was treated well, because everything is energy. So when that animal is going into you, the energy, say if it was a tortured chicken, that tortured chicken energy is going to go into you, right? Yep. And also, I want to remind you as well that, you know, the frequency of that animal is going to be able to like live through you, right? And it's beautiful, the cycle of life. So I know there's many different differing opinions and things like this. I definitely had to like reprogram my mind, because I was very much like, oh, like meat is bad. And like, oh, it's like so many false things. And honestly, what can solve it too is muscle testing. You can literally muscle test your body and be like, oh, do I need this steak? And if the answer is yes, you may need, for example, some B vitamins in there. I know personally, I was lacking B vitamins. My holistic doctor confirmed that as well. And I will tell you that when I added in, because previously I would just eat like for a long time, no dairy, no red meat. I don't eat pork personally. Just don't feel super called to pork. It's very like, it has like a lot of worms and stuff like that, but you can always take things, like eat things with it. Sure. Like for example, oregano oil, like North American herbs and spices, oregano oil. If it's chicken, it's going to be pasture raised. So I really haven't bought that lately and been able to get my hands on that. I could get some from a local farm, Pine Shine Farm. So I really have been eating more grass-fed, grass-finished steak. So I feel like I'm going in so many different directions here. You can tell I'm fired up about it. But basically, I finally added steak back in after being, yeah, dairy-free, you know, processed, sugar-free, which of course I still am. And just basically I was eating like fish and sometimes chicken. You know, I really was deficient in bioavailable, once again, protein. I'm telling you, when I ate that Pine Shine Farm steak, I was like, I had something come over me. It was like source came through my capacity. You need to like keep eating this. Like I had a mental clarity, like something clicked in me. And I was like, wow, like this is so nourishing. And I'm not going to like ignore what my body really, really wants. So just a reminder that, you know, animal protein, especially for red meat, has, you know, nutrients in it that are not found in plants, and you truly need it for cellular like function. And once again, if our cells aren't functioning, we're not going to have energy. We're not going to have a healthy metabolism. We're not going to have a healthy, you know, hormones, etc. And the list goes on and on. But I'll kind of let you jump in here
too. No, I think that you just you brought up a lot of really good points there. And I think kind of like the sum, you know, kind of the sum of all of it would be micronutrient density versus macronutrient density. And like, obviously that's kind of under the umbrella of being healthy. You know, like, first of all, let's talk about how America, like, sick, what is it? Like 60% of Americans are obese or overweight, or like, we're having like a serious, like that, in my opinion, that's the real pandemic. Is obesity, is diabetes, chronic disease, inflammation. That's where we're messing up right there. But, you know, first we have to eliminate, like you said, processed sugars, processed seed oils. I mean,
exactly.
Right?
I was like,
that to me is huge.
PUFAs. Like, changed my mind, but I'm like, a lot of vegan diets, they are straight up PUFA diets, you know? So yeah.
What does that stand for, Cassie, for the audience?
Polyunsaturated fatty acids. These are rancid, unstable fats, unlike stable fats, which are, you know, butter,
animal fats.
Animal fats. Yes, exactly. And not only are they already rancid, but they actually are going to go rancid even more when they're in our bodies, because our bodies are tropical. What is it? 98.6 degree bodies.
Uh-huh.
It's just terrible. It's one of the hugest problems that we have. And yeah,
we can't actually distinguish the difference between a bacteria or a virus and then seed oils. Like, our body treats that as a foreign entity, because it's a seed oil is not naturally occurring in nature. It's not a thing that we evolved to consume. So our bodies are not programmed to accept that. See, like, as you know, food is information. And when we put that food into our body is going to view that as information. Okay, what do we do with this? You know, how do we take this and break it down to feed to our 4 trillion cells? Like, all we are literally trillions of cells that are communicating as one body.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of coming back to the grounding thing. So what are your thoughts on
yeah, that? Absolutely. And I just I'm so grateful that you brought up the PUFAs, and yeah, they're just such a huge issue, and like Chan said, they're one of the biggest reasons why people are sick. I think the biggest reason why people are sick, fat, and overweight more than ever. They just suffocate the cells. I could go on and on about it. I actually have a video, I'll have to link that below as well, on the dangers of PUFAs. So yeah, that was a huge like eye opener for me, to cut out the PUFA, stay away from canola oil. It's legit hidden in like everything.
So you just say so I'm trying to, I don't want to say dumb it down. I don't want to insult anybody,
yeah,
but to bring it down to like someone who doesn't understand this as well. So a PUFA, a polyunsaturated fatty acid, very unstable type of a fat that our body isn't really good at digesting. What would be some examples of PUFAs or seed oils? You said canola oil is one.
Oil, safflower oil, sunflower oil, rapeseed oil, corn oil, really.
Vegetable.
But is like
any oil.
Yeah, almond oil, like all of the oil.
Peanut oil.
Exactly, peanut oil.
And everything except coconut. This is the next, you know, there's less linoleic acid in these three. Coconut oil, avocado oil, and olive oil. You do that too, right?
Yes, exactly. And I personally, like, I do like olive oil. I'll usually have it in like a salad dressing that I make, but I don't really cook with it too much, to be honest. It's usually coconut oil. Oh, and something else, this is a really good thing to mention too, that I realize, is that we can actually kind of turn butter into a PUFA when we cook it too much. So what I actually do is I will make my steak in my Extrema pot, because you already know the non-toxic living.
Mm-hmm.
I love that pot. And it just tastes so much better as well. And then I'll put my salt on it so that the enzymes stay more intact as well. It's okay to cook with salt as well. And then I put the butter like raw on it. And I'll actually do that with like sweet potatoes as well and stuff. So when you cook with butter, it can actually kind of turn it into a PUFA somewhat. So that was something that I was like, what? I didn't even know that. So yeah, it's nice when you can have it in its raw form. And yeah, it has more enzymes available for us. So
bioavailability factor is something that like people just think protein's protein, like fat is fat, and carbs are carbs, and it's not. Like, it's so much deeper than that. Like, and I know you and I both used to think that. Like, when I would, before all I wanted was aesthetics. I wanted to be big, have big biceps, have a straight six pack, look good for the girls. That's all I cared about, was just the look. And then kind of over time, it evolved into like realizing, like why am I bloated? Why do I have gas? Like, is this normal? Like, why am I not sleeping well, you know?
I know, exactly. Yeah. I would love to jump into organs too really quick. So
let's do it. Yeah, let's
run. Say that with organs, you know, we've been very conditioned for many things, right? Like, we've been conditioned to be like, this is weird, or this is whatever. Like, it's human, you know? So our ancestors have been eating organs for thousands and thousands of years. Literally, the ancestors would, if somebody had a bad heart in the tribe, they would give you a beef heart. So they would be like cures, basically. And I actually want to touch on both my holistic doctors. So my one holistic doctor, who is a nutritional response tester practitioner in the area, he actually will, you know, test the body, see what my body needs. And say, for example, that you have like a unhealthy thyroid. Well, in your medicine, you're most likely going to test for maybe one of the products that is desiccated thyroid. So that's one example. Another one is, I work with another woman who uses like kind of energy medicine, basically using frequencies. And she actually creates like detox water for me. And in the water, there's a bunch of different things. And one of them will be like, if you have, once again, an unhealthy like thyroid, it will be, she puts in there the frequency of a healthy functioning thyroid. So it's like, that just goes to show as well, you know, the power of, yeah, like for like when it comes to organs. And I also want to touch on, too, the power of beef liver. Oh, my gosh, this is superfood. So, first of all, in nature, do you know, Chance, where do animals attack? Where's the first place they attack? Yes, they attack.
They're right for the organs. Every single time. You go to National Geographic and you see a cheetah hunting an antelope or whatever animal it might be. They go right to the organs. It doesn't matter if it's a bird, if it's a predator like a cheetah or a lion, they go right for the gut.
Organs, yes, exactly. Yes. So grass-fed beef liver has been something amazing that I have added into my everyday nutrition.
Capsule, desiccated capsules.
Yeah. So I take the capsule form. I looked into actually the first one, I think it was from seeing from you that you used the, was Hardened Soil. I think I used Ancestral Supplements the first time, and then I did a little deeper research.
Which technically they're both, I don't know if you knew this, they're both a company under the Liver King, which everyone probably knows now.
Yeah, I love
him. He's actually, I believe he helped Dr. Paul Saladino, who kind of got me into this animal-based thing. He helped him kind of get Heart and Soil, I believe, off. You know, I don't know if this is true or not, but I think that's the case.
Yeah.
So it's cool how all of those people are kind of interconnected, you know, and they just want a better.
Exactly. It's like we all won't eat, you know, literally, we all won't eat some beef liver at the table, the Last Supper table.
Have you done that yet? Have you eaten raw beef?
Okay, yeah. So no, I haven't. So I use Perfect Supplements, not yet. I use Perfect Supplements brand desiccated, beef liver capsules. I like that brand because from what I researched, they test for glyphosate, so that's really awesome. And I also think, I have to check maybe the number of capsules in the bottle, but it might have been more affordable too than the Ancestral Supplements that I tried the first time, but we ain't worried about that because quality all day doesn't matter. I won't compromise quality because something is cheaper or something like that. But I definitely am like a little nervous to eat beef liver. I continue taking it in the morning, every single morning with food, but I'm going to actually cut up raw beef liver into little bite-sized pieces, freeze it in the morning, defrost it, and then swallow it whole with water, juice, whatever. And although I'm going to plug my nose,
I'm
starting off maybe 1 year from now, this podcast will be like, hey, how was your, beef heart and your whatever testicles last night that you ate or whatever.
Right.
Whatever. So, so basically I'm going to do that and like plug my nose. And then although I'm not chewing it up, my stomach acid's still going to be able to absorb all the nutrients and everything. So I'm going to do that. I know that when you prepare it, if you soak it in raw milk, that's definitely helpful to get the metallic taste out.
Yeah.
And also you just have to look at it as fuel, right? Like, yes, of course you can prepare it really yummy, but it is fuel.
Just like anything else that people who are into health eat, we don't eat for taste. We eat for what it's doing to our bodies, like our temple, putting that in for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'm excited to experiment with some other, I lie. I have eaten it. So I ate, what is it? Force of Nature. Oh no. It's the Thousand Hills Farms that I get my steak from. I order online and it saves me so much money that, by the way, you can reach out to me and message me and learn more about that. And I actually ate the Renegade blend that is ground beef and it's heart and liver ground up. And I just put a little bit of cumin on it and garlic powder and salt. And it was delicious. Like I didn't really taste, it tastes a little different than ground beef, but I didn't really taste like too much of a difference. So I'm really excited. I actually just ordered a pack of that from that company. And I'm excited to factor that in more. I also look forward to when the cases come back in stock of ground from Force of Nature brand, venison and elk. And I had a chance to try elk, and I'm like, this is fire. Like,
that's pretty cool.
Better than ground beef, better than bison. Bison's really good, but just having that food variety, you know? It's amazing. So I'm really excited to factor in some more, you know, animal organs, but slowly. What about you? Tell me about your experiences with it.
This is fairly new to me as well. I don't know how long you've been into it, but for me, it's been really just around a year now. March of 2021 is when I knew that I needed to make a little change in my diet. I mean, I was always quote unquote healthy. I would eat good sources of protein. I was never doing grass finished. I just made sure that I got my protein in through meat somehow, red meat, chicken, fish. I would eat my vegetables. I was kind of a keto guy because I would do keto when I competed in physique shows, and I liked the way that it made me look. I got down to 4.5% body fat, and I was like, this is amazing. I feel so good, even though it's not sustainable. Yeah. So I kind of, you know, stayed in that realm. I would have some white rice or sweet potatoes to get my carbs in. So I was probably between 10 and 13% body fat, pretty comfortable, feeling good. But I was still in search for an answer for my body. So I was kind of looking into the nutrition route, which is what's so cool about sometimes when you have to go through hell, so many opportunities present themselves. Like you're forced to learn about certain things and you educate yourself. Like, and it's very like humbling to be in this position, you know, to be forced through hell at such a young age. So I actually discovered Dr. Paul Saladino. He's good friends with Liver King. Most of you guys probably know Liver King more than Paul Saladino. So I read Paul's book, The Carnivore Code. It's a 450 page read, super in depth. And like first go around, if you're going to read this book, just prepare yourself. Don't read too much at a time because the information in there can be so overwhelming and will absolutely flip your perspective on what it means to eat like on itself. You know, like I never thought that eating all meat could actually be like a good thing, you know? And I just, you know, took it step by step. And then I eventually started buying his supplements. I got on the beef organs, which has heart, kidney, spleen, pancreas, and liver in it. And to like most people, that's like, that's disgusting. Like, why are you eating organs? But it was because, and still is because of what the nutrient density that comes from not just grass-fed, grass-finished muscle meat, which I'm also eating. I purchased a half a cow 3 months ago and bought a deep freezer. I got down that whole route, but also the organs, you know, the organs have special nutrients like choline, K2, large amounts of vitamin A and liver, you know, different B vitamins, copper, zinc, magnesium. I mean, these are all vital vitamins.
Bioavailable.
Yes. Thank you for checking me there. Very bioavailable micronutrients that we're not getting, especially if you're on a plant-based or vegan diet. Like I worry about my sister, she's a vegan, and like she's been trying to be more whole food vegan, which obviously is better than, you know, processed food junk vegan. Yeah. So I'm proud of her for that. And just recently she started incorporating things like salmon and chicken during lunch. So I was like, good, like you're at least doing something, you know.
And tuning in how she feels and also showing her the muscle testing. I'm going to put you on, brother. I'm excited.
No, yeah, I'm excited. I've never, other than hearing it from you, I think like last week, I've never heard of that. So that's cool.
It's amazing. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that once again. Yes, it totally is such a superfood. People are like, oh, what multivitamin do you recommend? What did it work? And I'm like, grass-fed beef liver. They're like, oh, your skin is glowing. I'm like, grass-fed beef liver.
And
I have boyfriend problems. I'm like, grass-fed beef liver.
And not to mention, I know this is like, we're segueing into this, but sunscreen, I don't wear sunscreen anymore. Yeah. Like, I don't really burn. I just tan. Yeah. And it feels freaking awesome.
With PFAS, exactly. And your skin is used to the sun. So yeah, we'll go ahead and transition into I love that. Awesome. Super grateful you're able to share all that essential stuff. And also just one other thing I just want to touch on. It's really important to get in your collagen and gelatin as well. And I really think that Perfect Supplements has that, but you can get, I have the powders, but you can get, you know, you can make your own things with that, right? Like gelatin gummies. And I put my collagen powder in like a shake and things like that. But you know, getting it from bone broth, it's really important to eat those things with muscle meats to balance out the amino acid profiles and things like that. So I just want to touch on that as well. So we'll go ahead and jump into the fourth thing that we wish we knew in the beginning of our health journey. And that is emotional intelligence. And really, what are emotions, right? They are energy and motion. So we've been talking about this whole time, you know, everything is energy, right? And really emotional intelligence is going to help us really just bring ourselves into more of a like upward spiral, into more alignment with our highest self, more alignment with just more alignment, right? More alignment instead of bringing ourselves into that dis-ease. And I would love to really just discuss a little bit about how emotionally taxing it can be to deal with a chronic illness or dis-ease. In the way that, it can be super depressing. Like I personally have experienced from being a little bit limited in some of the ways that I can do fitness, some of the ways that I can move my body, like, oh man, I really miss being able to move my body in that way. And just not just that, but also just and going through the whole process itself, being limited on things that you can eat, things like that, dealing with the chronic pain and things like that. And basically, yeah, I just wanted to talk about that a little bit more. And like, I personally saw, like, I know how much fitness is a huge part of my life. And I would say, like, even not knowing you super well, Chance, I've seen like, it's an even bigger part of like your life. And I saw my brother, who would work out like 2 times a day, like experience for the first time, I saw my brother depressed. And I was like, I'm not worried about you. Are you okay? You know, like, because he got an injury. And he was, of course, in that masculine energy. And he was like, I think I messed this up, but I saw him, like, we were on vacation. He was doing push-ups. And I'm like, you're going to hurt it worse, you know? And it did mess it up worse. And so, yeah, I just really see how, like, how much that can really cause. Yeah, just some serious depression, because that's such an outlet for us. That is, like, therapy for us. And so, yeah, I would love to know a little bit about, you know, how you've always had, I know, like, a high emotional intelligence, but how basically having that high emotional intelligence and just knowing the importance of that was really something that maybe you wish that you knew, you know, more about in the beginning of your journey, and not even knew, but prioritize more and valued more.
Absolutely. I mean, I've always been, and I think I get this a lot from really my mom. My mom's her side's a very like emotional, passionate, emotional, you know, good and bad, right? And I inherited that gene. I think that can be a good thing, but can also be a bad thing if you don't balance it out, if you can't kind of segue your emotions and kind of maintain them, you know, and keep them balanced, because when one emotion gets out of whack, everything else kind of falls out of whack as well. So, you know, like you mentioned, your brother obviously working out twice a day and just loving fitness and utilizing the gym as a form of therapy, that obviously was me too. And I will get back to it, but, you know, I was bullied, kind of to preface this, I was bullied in middle school a little bit, actually quite a bit. And it was very challenging to overcome. I was always the younger kid to stick up for victims of being bullied. I was always, I just always wanted people to be treated the same. I never understood why, you know, that's because I was raised very well. I have two very genuine, loving, passionate parents that are very good people, and I'm super grateful for them. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that don't have those role models, and unfortunately, they lash out in school, and it's unfortunately why some kids commit suicide because of being bullied, and it's a huge problem. But, you know, I was bullied, and I was always a kid to stick up for other people, so I found the gym very early on because I was bullied. I was like, man, I'm the skinny kid. I have buck teeth. People would make fun of my nose. I look like the Who. Like, you know, I can go through all of these different things that I still remember. Like, you don't forget those things, you know? And like, obviously now I'm so much more confident, but as a kid, those are insecurities that will never leave you. And I always remember them because it was so emotionally traumatic for me as a young guy, as a kid, that I, you know, I even took into my teenage and young adult years. That I found that I needed some sort of coping mechanism. I was never big into drinking. I never really did drugs. That just wasn't my speed. So I found health and fitness. I found running and ab exercises and sweating. And you know, I would have all this anger and this emotion from these bullies, right, in school. And this is energy. This is like I wanted to retaliate, but that wasn't who I was.
Right.
You know, it just wasn't who I was. I was a very docile, passive kid, but I took that energy and used it as fuel. And I started working out in my garage. I put on 5 or 10 pounds. And then I remember, I think I was in seventh grade, and I was on the front page of our local Boaters magazine here, or newspaper here. And I was holding a like 3-foot long kingfish. And I was holding it like this. And for 12 years old, I mean, my bicep was pretty big. And I remember the next day or the next week, whenever it was, going back into school, and kids started making rumors up about me that I was taking steroids. So like from the time I was in seventh grade up until now, people say I take steroids, and it's like, you know, I tried to get, you know, get into the gym to get away from the bullying. And then I got bullied more because people were jealous that I was doing something with myself, and I was taking that negative energy, turning it positive. Yeah. So that's kind of how it started for me. And my, all my emotions were poured into that. Mm-hmm. And then when you know, I ID'd with the gym, my identification was almost Like, Chance is the gym and the gym is Chance. And that was toxic. Like, I didn't realize it at the time, but that was very toxic because from a very young age, I was kind of pushed into finding a therapy because I was bullied because I didn't ask for it, but I was pushed into this gym. Mm-hmm. I felt better. I felt not anxious. Like, I felt great. I was getting bigger and getting healthier and all of that. And then at 19 years old, I started with these symptoms of this neuromuscular tightness. And at the time, I didn't know it was neuromuscular tightness. So then I slowly started to phase out of the gym. Now I'm not in the gym. I can't even go for a walk without my psoas and my IQL clinching up like this. So it's like, I can't do anything physically active. I can't sleep without being in discomfort. So just let that sink in. Like, someone who was bullied, went to the gym to release their emotions, I felt in love, like a man would fall in love with a woman with the gym, because it cleansed me. Those 2 hours were me. That was my time. Yeah. And I was a different person walking out of the gym than I was walking in. I know a lot of bodybuilders, a lot of people that are big in the fitness say that, because it's so true. And you'll never truly understand it until you get into it.
Right.
So my emotional intelligence, kind of to wrap this up, to put a bow on it, is that now at 25, I gave up what I identified with. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like a whole new Chance is being born. I know I'm going to have the gym back, but I'm okay without it. I haven't had it for a long time and I'm still here.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of a cool story, I'd say. I don't know.
It's a wonderful story. And I love that it's like, yeah, you can share that, like, to be able to have that outlet for you, to have that as your identity and not be able to do that anymore. Like, that's like debilitating, not just physically,
extreme,
but like,
man,
spiritually, emotionally, you know, like mentally as well. And I'm really grateful that, yeah, our emotional intelligence now that we have is like able to allow us to be this conscious observer and be like, okay, we're not our feelings. We're not our thoughts. We are the one that's looking at it. We are the one that's, yeah, observing it. And looking at the thoughts, looking at the feelings, noticing the thoughts, noticing the feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, like I mentioned to you in the beginning, it's really going to, it has given Chance a more of a purpose to help others as well, purpose for yourself, and same for me. So I love that. Like, I have so much deeper compassion, and I'm actually working to work in person with people to help them physically with their holistic health as well, through what I've gone through as well. And not just because of that, right? I've really evaluated, like, is it just because I'm so passionate about what I have been through? No, it's more than that. It's truly always been my calling.
Mm-hmm.
It builds our relentlessness. It builds our resiliency. Having that emotional intelligence also has helped us create more balance, because slowing down is actually going to give us the opportunity to see the importance of balance, right? Like, think about when, you know, the lockdown went down a couple of years ago, everyone had the opportunity to slow down and be like, oh wow, like, I'm spending more time with my family and I want more of this right now. Or like, oh wow, like, I have to, like, go within, I'm forced to, because I can't, like, maybe go to the outlet of, you know, just the gym and maybe, like, yeah, in that way it's good to transmute the pain into the gym, but also finding it in other ways that you can do it, through talking to somebody, through meditation, through connecting with another human, you know, through things. So I know that, I'm sure that it's brought more balance into your life and more, like, holistic health into your life. I mean, I've seen your journey, you know, through the past couple of years, and seeing you just, like, diving into breath work more and diving into just so much more nutrition and just, it's beautiful. It's a really beautiful experience.
I love that. Thank you.
Yes. And I would love to also know, like, alternative ways, like, alternative outlets to working out. Obviously I know you do breath work, and I know that you do, like, cold therapy as well in the sunlight, but yeah, just anything else you want to share about, like, other alternative outlets to stress relieving, healthy things that are just going to bring you, like, a similar joy to what, like, lifting or fitness does for you.
Yeah. I mean, for me, like, I only know of one person that's going through what I'm going through currently. So, like, I know that there are people, and I just met her like 5 or 6 weeks ago, and it's kind of like God aligns everything, like, for a reason. Like, her and I have been, like, very close, and I just met her on social media. Like, it's so cool. But with that being said, what I'm about to say, like, I'm very debilitated, and there's people out there who probably can do more than me that I am not able to do. So, like, you kind of mentioned, like, cold plunges, like, you can do that no matter what. Like,
right.
Movement's not going to affect that. That's only going to help to get rid of your anxiety, de-stress you, allow you to kind of just relax a little bit. And I'm the type of person, Cassie, where that's kind of why I became obsessed with the gym, is I knew every time I walked into those, into that atmosphere, I was improving my body and also my mind. So kind of what, like when I lost it, I was like, I need to improve something. So like nutrition, I started improving my nutrition. Like if I go over to my parents, like I'll go and do some underwater meditation and practice some breath holds on an exhale, because there's a difference between breath holding on exhale versus inhale, you know, like stuff like that. Sun exposure is very important. Meditation, I'm big on meditation. I just kind of got into red light therapy a little bit. I'd like to get like a big panel, yeah, kind of like the size of the banner back there, but they're pretty expensive. I should just kind of pull the trigger and invest in it. But I do have a few night lights in my room that, you know, kind of are ambient. The ambience,
yeah,
is kind of nice.
I have a few red light bulb for nighttime.
Like I don't do any blue lights, and I'm actually getting better at that. Like, you know, staying off my phone, but there's no blue lights in my room. I keep my light off. I just use the red light, night lights.
Nice.
But, you know, yeah, it's hard for me because I'm like so debilitated. Like I can't really do much. Like I would say go for a walk,
right,
go for a light jog. Grounding, like I can do grounding. I can go out back and like as the sun rises, let the sun hit my face with no shirt on. I might be in my boxers or something. And even if it's cold out, even if it's like 40 degrees, even if it's 30 degrees or 20 degrees, like go outside and like have that. Like I am the type of person, and like we're all this type of person. Some of us are just a little less adapted to it, and you need to kind of force your way through. But like cold exposure, cold showers, heat exposure, like stuff like that creates resilience in our body, this form of hormetic stress or hormesis. Like we didn't even talk about that, but that's so important in longevity, you know, and activating those longevity genes.
Absolutely. And I love that you were, I remember one of your stories you were talking about just adding, yeah, just to, you know, to add that resiliency and add that, like, do hard shit daily. Like you said that once, and I was like, yes.
Suffering, right? Like David, yeah, Goggins, like some, yeah, of you may or may not know who David Goggins is, but he is an absolute badass. And in my opinion, he does take things such as stretching kind of too far. But he does what works for him. And like, you know, his story is freaking crazy, but he's somebody that like has taught me we have got to suffer. Like, even if it's only 30 minutes per day or an hour per day, we have to put our minds and then our bodies in that condition a little bit. Like we need a little bit of external stress. It's healthy.
Ancestors. Yeah. Think about our ancestors.
Freaking healthy.
What they are going through. Exactly. So thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm super excited to transition into our fourth thing that we wish we knew in the beginning of our health journey. And that is the importance of getting daily sunlight. It's a highly overlooked vital key in having a healthy metabolism and hormones and for our mental health. I remember seeing one of the memes that you posted that I reshared. It was like a dog. I think it was like looking out the window and it's like, man, I'm depressed. Life is going to shit. Da-da-da-da, like negative thoughts. And then it was like the dog outside, like happy, the sun in his face. And it's like, life is beautiful. Life is grand. Like, I feel amazing. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's so true. Like, it says like 5 minutes later or something, or 5 minutes in the sun or something. And it's like, that's all we need. It's like innately, it feels good. So it's like, yes, we could go over all day, all the different benefits of, you know, getting sunlight. Literally, it's going to regulate our sleep, our hormones, our immune system, our metabolism, like I mentioned, but also just innately, how does it feel to go outside and feel the sun on your skin, right? Like there's a reason why there's the, I don't know what it's called, like the northern blues or whatever, like me and Chance, we don't know what it's called. We're foreign to that. We're Florida people over here.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, like it's depressing, you know, like we need sunlight. It is vital for our health. So super grateful that, you know, there's so many easy ways to get in sunlight, like legit just going outside on your lunch break, eating in the sun, going for a walk, you know, just taking a couple laps around maybe your workplace, wherever it is. I know that Chance drives shirtless. That's freaking awesome. What a great way to just like multitask, you know?
I have a sunroof, so I take advantage of it every day.
Yeah,
you know?
That's so cool. I love that so much. And I literally messaged him and I was like, I know the reason why you're driving with your shirt off is because you want to get sunlight. He's like,
absolutely.
Now, 5 years ago, you know, maybe he was trying to, you know, pick up some girls or something, right?
Right.
Aesthetics days, but I was like, I know exactly why you're doing that. I love it. So, yeah, and I just love that I do morning meditation in the sun as much as I can. And that's also another great way to get in sunlight, such an easy way. And I know that we talked about it earlier, so you answered my question that I was going to ask is it, do you wear sunscreen? And of course I knew that the answer was going to be no, but to really touch on that, you know, it's just like a chemical shitstorm. Like, think about when we were younger, we would go to the beach, eat fries, right? Eat these PUFA-filled inflammatory toxic foods. And then it's going in our body. Not only do we have these toxic rancid seed oils, PUFAs in our body, but we also have other chemicals in our body as well, and toxins. And then we lather on the chemical sunscreen. So it's like, is the sun really causing the big C? No, that's once again another propaganda lie. It's truly the, you know, chemicals in the sunscreen that are reacting with the sun. And then it's also the foods that we're eating. And also another thing to remember as well is the more that you are in the sun, I don't know what the like special term is, but like our skin becomes like more resilient to the sun, right? So if we're not going to go in the sun ever, and then we go in the sun, you know, randomly for 2 hours, yes, we're going to be more likely to burn. But if we get a little bit of daily sun exposure, 30 minutes a day, every day, it's not going to be as likely to burn. So
yeah, you build up that, like our skin is our main form of protection from our external environment, including the sun. Right. And so like those PUFAs, those polyunsaturated fatty acids, are very unstable bonds. They make our primary defense system in our skin very weak. Right. So those cells are very weak to that sunlight exposure. And that's why you guys are burning. Like, right, you'll never truly understand like what we're talking about until you do it. You see it for yourself. Cause I've been seeing like so many people talk about it recently in this animal-based community of like, oh my gosh, I've been carnivore or animal-based for the last 6 months. I don't wear sunscreen. You know, yeah, I get a little red, but I don't burn the way that I used to. And it's like,
yeah, I'm not just a
coincidence,
I'm
or is that like
carnivore? I will say like animal-based. I'm like, I feel like I don't like to label myself anything.
No, like, yeah, I understand.
A lot more animal products now, and
it's right. That's why I say animal-based. Like,
right, you know. Right. But same, I've literally experienced that myself, and so have you. And it's like, it's so beautiful and powerful. And like he said, you know, the best teacher is experience. So I love it. We can talk about these things all day, but at the end of the day, it's all about your experience. It's all about your experience and truly experiencing that for yourself. So awesome. I love that. So that pretty much sums up everything. I would love to also just touch on the fact that these four things that we talk about, like, they're simple things that we can do, right? They're mostly free things that we can do. And really all of these things are going to help us align with the laws of nature, right? And they're going to help us. It's not to say that we need to like live like our ancestors did, because we have a different modern day that we don't need to live like our ancestors did, but at least to become in congruence with what they did, because they lived and they aligned with the laws of nature, right? And what's that going to do? That's going to really help us have the healthiest mind, body, and spirit, because we are a whole human. We're not just a body, a mind, or a spirit. It's going to help us be the most happy and whole organic man and woman that source, God, whatever you resonate with, you know, created us to be. So that's really what Chance and I are here to do, is to help people remember that and to help people align with that and to activate their innate power that they have within themselves. And once again, like I mentioned in the, you know, it innately feels good to go outside and get sunshine. And the more that you detox and the more that you get those seed oils out, and detox in so many ways, because detox isn't just like, you know, nutrition, obviously, and get in the proper nutrients, vitamins, minerals, you're going to be like firing on all the right cylinders, and you're going to be able to feel into these things like, this innately doesn't feel right for me to be like going against my body's, you know, what it's asking me to not squat all this weight and to like get these, you know, movement patterns corrected and things like that. And this doesn't innately feel good to eat this meal and feel like shit and do that literally every single day, right? So yeah, I just want to remind you guys, like, these are simple things that we can do, and it can be so much more simple than we think. And it's such a great place to start, is truly with the simple foundations: clean food, clean air, you know, clean water, the proper things we need, sunlight, proper sleep, like starting with the foundations first and foremost. So yeah. I would love to know, I always love to ask everybody, what is something that you are happy about, that you are grateful for, and that you are proud of when it comes to your health journey?
I mean, I think that there's a lot of things to be happy about currently. I definitely have to say the one thing I'm happy about right now, outside of the PRI and finding that that almost like undiscoverable path of learning about the body, is definitely reaching out and scheduling a session with a therapist. Like, I cannot stress that enough to you guys and girls out there. Going through stuff, we're all going through, you know, something, at any given point in our life, we have stress. And I don't care what you say, talking to somebody, even just sitting here with you today, Cassie, and kind of talking about my journey, talking about where I'm at, it's therapeutic. It's therapeutic to let those thoughts out, let those thoughts flow. And, you know, it's not healthy to hold that in. You know, you're taking years off of your life. And so for me right now, personally, it's taking that leap, taking that step, and, you know, deciding to speak to somebody about my mental health, deciding to speak to somebody, you know, about my problems, because we all got problems. We're all not perfect, you know?
That's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. I love that. And I love your grateful heart. And once again, I was really grateful that you were able to share that. And it truly is therapeutic. Like, we're literally here to connect with other humans and, yes, to connect with ourselves.
What the journey's about.
And it takes, you know, also having that outsider looking in and that professional as well, and really collapsing your time to be able to, yeah, to have those people ask you the questions and to reveal the things to you that you may not be able to see. So what a gift that, you know, our mentors are and the conscious relationships are. So I love that so much. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. I also would love to know, just if you would like to share, you know, what you do, where people can find you, how they can work with you, and just anything else that you want to share.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm definitely all online, social media based. I used to have a website, but I don't currently right now. So Instagram is kind of like the main platform that I practice out of. Currently an online fitness coach. So I enjoy working with people on that platform. You can message me at Chance Galloway Fitness. I also have Facebook. You can find me just Chance Galloway. I'm on TikTok, Chance G Fitness. So pretty much all of the platforms, if you just look up Chance Galloway, you guys will find me.
I'll link your handle here too as well.
Yeah, you can do that. Absolutely. So that's pretty much, I mean, that covers that. And while I kind of have the mic here, I wanted to ask you, can we kind of segue into that? I wanted to ask you kind of relentless and where, because I know we were kind of trying to kind of co-podcast it. I want to shout you out. You're shouting me out on your platform. So what is your definition, Cassie, of being relentless?
My definition of being relentless is knowing your divinity. Mm-hmm. So I think it's all about, of course, relentlessness is all about, you know, having that grit, right? Fall 7 times, stand up 8, right? Of course. But it's also about really knowing who you are, right? You are a limitless creator, receiving from an unlimited source in unlimited ways, and really owning your divinity and owning your power. And I truly believe that, yes, we are divinely guided and protected. And as I say to my clients, you know, oh, if something isn't manifesting, that's universe trying to save your ass, right? It's like, it's not always about, oh, I want to manifest this. It's like, it's not working out. That's, you're always being divinely guided and protected, but you're also co-creating your reality with source, with spirit, with God, Jah. And there's many different paths that we can go and timelines that we can go, right? And I think it's just like when I say, you know, knowing your divinity, it's like that cosmic self, that spirit self of you, right? Because we're actually a spirit, you know, we're a spiritual being having human experience. It's holding space for your human self, right? So like when you are knowing your divinity, you are gonna honor the ebbs and flows, right? The seasons of your life. And know that everything is temporary. So yeah, I just think that it's really knowing your divinity and who you truly are at your core and the power that you are. And we're here, once again, I've said this so many times, but Chance and I are really here to help people awaken to that power, because when you do, all of the bliss and happiness and health and peace and just blessings are here that are the source has here for you are activated and revealed to you.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So for my listeners, Cassie, where can people find you as well?
So you guys can find me on Instagram and on YouTube at Conscious Cassie. I post new Free Yourself Friday videos every single Friday. I do have an 8-week holistic health coaching program. That's, once again, like I said, a holistic health coaching program. So detoxing your mind, your body, and the blockages to your spirit. But I'm actually reformulating that right now to make it into more of a master course. So it's not going to be a live program anymore. It's going to be just a master course where you can do it self-paced at your own time. And then I'm also working on some certs and making some moves to work with you in person to help you heal holistically, physically. Well, actually not just physically, but to work with people more on like their physical health. And also I do have a couple really amazing doctors that I'm working with. So if you guys have anyone who, and I say the big C because we got to play the game here, and like they censor certain words, right? But the big C, that's the C word that rhymes with dancer. If you guys have anybody, like you personally are experiencing that, anybody in your family, or just any like so-called incurable diseases, I'm talking about even like STDs that we're taught are like incurable, please contact me because I would love to lead you in the right direction, whether that be eventually working with me or to one of my doctors, because there's literally a solution for everything. There's an abundance of everything in the universe, including a lot of solutions that have been suppressed from us. So yeah, I would love to open up your eyes to that whole reality and really get you well and really just stop putting a band-aid over these certain things and really help you heal from a cellular level and get that root cause healing going for you. So yeah.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that you kind of have that background with detoxing and the nutrition, and I'm over here with kind of the movement and fitness aspect. You know, we could probably bounce people in the future back and forth, you know.
Absolutely.
Really cool idea.
To all be in this
play our strengths.
Yeah, be light warriors. I love that so much. So thank you so much, Chance.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. It was awesome. Was
awesome. Really fun. Really
it was. Yeah,
I look forward to doing it again. And I would love to know what resonated for you guys. Definitely let me know in the comments. And if you like this video, please hit that like button, subscribe to my channel, and share this with somebody that is ready to get their heart expanded, their mind opened up, and to take control of their health. Until next Friday, I'll see you guys next time. Namaste. Awesome.
It was good.
I love it. Look at us. I'm like, we're just flowing. I'm like, we definitely went later. I love
it. I know. Yeah, I knew that was going to happen.
But that was great, though. We still, even though we went later, we still, like, we really made it.
Yeah, yeah.
We did good. Everything in divine time. I love that. Okay,
so. You did a good job as a host, kind of.
Thank
transition.
Trying my best. Let's see.
That was good.
I'm like, okay.
Congratulations, you guys have made it to the end of this week's episode on The Relentless Life. Thank you so much for tuning in. I had a blast interviewing the guests we had on today. I know I gained a lot of value from the conversations had. If you feel you've gained some sort of value and would like to reciprocate that value to me and the Relentless Life community, we would really appreciate it if you could leave a rating and review on either Spotify or the Apple Podcast app. You see, this helps us out tremendously with further spreading our message and our mission to as many people as possible. I created The Relentless Life for people just like you, people searching for greatness, seeking a life worth living. If this message resides with you, please reach out to me on any one of my social media platforms. You can send me an email at chancegalloway@live.com. I will do everything in my power to help you establish your relentless life. Join our Facebook group, The Relentless Life, for daily inspiration. Here you'll see more people every day taking the Relentless Life Oath. If you would like to represent this lifestyle and take your Relentless Life Oath, we have plenty of apparel in stock. I'm looking forward to you claiming your relentless life. Thank you guys so much for tuning in today. Until next week's episode, live the relentless life.